I'm gonna try and ring the local government ombudsman and financial conduct authority, which I think is the 0300 061 0614 number.
Thank you for calling the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman. This helpline is open on Monday and Tuesday between 10 a.m. and 12 noon, and from Wednesday to Friday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. If you would like to make a new complaint, please use our online complaint form on our website at www.lgo.org.uk. By doing so, you help keep this phone line free for people who can't go online, who may need help to do so, or for those who want general advice about the complaints process. If you have an existing complaint with us and you have a named contact, please contact them directly by telephone or email. If you have an urgent or emergency issue, please contact your local authority or care provider, as they are best placed to help you, and we expect them to respond appropriately to any complaints they receive. We usually expect you to have completed their complaints process before we can consider your complaint. If you still wish to speak to an advisor, your call may be recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Hello, how are you doing? My name's Mr. Cordell, Simon Cordell, and I wanted to ask for some general advice of yourself. Is it okay to do so?
Yeah,
fine.
What advice is it you're looking for?
It's basically, I think the legal ombudsman people are the people that I need to speak to. I spoke to a legal ombudsman the other day on the phone that I got off of the internet, and he said that it's not the right sort of ombudsman that I was speaking to, and he gave me this telephone number and advised to speak to yourself because you're the financial conduct authority. Is that correct?
No, we're the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman. We deal with complaints about councils and care providers.
Yeah, that's exactly what my issue slightly is. Can I go through what's just happened in short to yourself and what need assistance with? There's a few bits to it, so I'll explain a few bits, but then I'll get to the main point of it all in short. Basically, the council and the police decided to victimise me, and they decided to fraudulently create an ASBO application. The ASBO application's frauded in at least 12 places that are just that there is no way for them to be able to prove innocence in what I can prove. They just decided to victimise me, partly, I believe, because of my ethnicity. Now, what happened is, because I noticed the criminal conduct inside of the application, I questioned the integrity and phoned them up, and I tried to make informal complaints to them, formal complaints, and I was just basically pushed aside and prolonged in the situation with gross misconduct sort of thing. Now, the maximum sentence, if you did get arrested for my ASBO, was for the raves bill, is 3 months custodial prison sentence. So you do 1.5 months. They gave me 9 years seven-year sentence, should I say, and I just rid a year on bail conditions for another case the year prior. So straight away, as I got off bail conditions, they threw this application on me, which they knew that would be impossible because I was in my house all the time on the other bail conditions. But basically, I kept going through the complaints procedure, and I was speaking to this is Enfield Council and the Metropolitan Police, and I kept getting, they started trying to use their powers to scare me out from making my claim, basically. Now, in the end, they forged a possession order to get me out of my house. But in terms, the council created the ASBO with the police. They have to together. They tried to bar me from being homeless by saying I'm not allowed to go to squat building. So I accepted that and I stayed in my own private home. While I'm in my own home, I've started to notice the problems and started to phone them. I found that and I've found all the errors and what the fraud and everything they had done. So they've made a possession order trying to bar me from being homeless with the ASBO and bar me from having a home in by taking my council home away from me.
When did these things happen, sorry?
The ASBO started in 2014 and it just finished on the 8th month of 2020.
Can you just stop you there? The Ombudsman would expect any complaint to come to us within 12 months of being aware of the issue.
That's not the issue. That I'm just explaining the basis of what actually happened and what's going on, and I'll explain what's going on at present as well. That's what I'm saying. I'll just explain a couple of around parts about it so that the whole picture comes to light and you've got the information that you'd need to understand the complete picture.
Before you go forward and give me any more information, sorry, because all I need to know is whether or not you have a current complaint that has been through the council's complaints process.
Yes, I have.
If you have,
yes, I
then
do.
You would need to submit that complaint.
I have better than just the complaint. They served a possession order and then they served an injunction order, another injunction order, another possession order, and kept me trapped in malicious process and targeted malice.
It's on a council property.
They served me. They stripped my liberties of rights, saying I'm not allowed to go to certain places. The possession order was to take the ASBO stripped me.
Is that the police or the council?
The police and the council made. The police and the council have to make an ASBO together under the Crime and Disorder Act. So they had to have a meeting together, and normally there's victims. There was no victims. They forged all of the statements and wrote third-party stamps, forged all the timestamps. I put FOIs into all of their computers and took all of the information out of all of their computers, the police's, councils and doctors, and I took that in complete for all the years from 2013 till date, yeah? So I've put all of that information in date order in a diary. Now, what I've managed to do is they tried to get away from the ASBO by creating a possession order, and they made 31 dates up where it's saying that I'd done stuff knocking on my neighbours' houses. But luckily for me, I was on bail conditions not to come back to my house for another case, so I can prove I never done this. They forged their computers, and you can see my mum put an FOA and there's no information in my name. I wasn't known from 2006 of living here till 2016. Then you can see afterwards someone's gone into the computer, frauded all of the council's computer, and you can see all the timestamps go all wrong, and I can prove...
Sorry, just to advise you that 2016 may be deemed out of time, as I said.
What I understand is you have the Time Limitation Act, and that happens in two ways. There's because I kept proving I'd caught them straight out where I'm quite nippy with the lawyer. I basically know that there's two aspects with the time limitation, because I've just spoke to their insurance companies, and this is what I want to speak to you about.
The Ombudsman sets their own time frames.
Okay, I understand that. What my issue is here, madam, yeah, is just recently the council gave me all of their insurance policies from 2012 to 2022. They gave me something like it's 500 million just off the council. The police gave me all of their insurance policies as well, and so did NHS Resolution and the MPs. So I've got something like 3.8 billion in insurance policies off them here right now. Now, I've got public liability insurances for them all, and I've won all of the cases that I was just mentioning to you, and I can prove criminal intent and gross misconduct. I can prove attempted murder.
Those are issues for the police. Those aren't issues for an ombudsman.
Okay, I can appreciate it. But what my issue is right now, this is why I would like to, I'm trying to get down to the point, is I've got their insurance policies, and basically from going through the council's insurance policies, their public liabilities, they're not covered for criminal intent in their policies. Now, so criminal or fraudulent action. So they're not insured technically, even though they should have been insured. Now, with the police, for the same period of time, because they've done it in joint circular, Sawrich insures them for dishonesty. The police were covered for dishonesty and fraudulent actions. Now, this is where my point, where I need your help, basically. What I'm concerned about is I'm going through Sawrich's policy, because if the way I'm looking at it is, okay, well, if one person gets three people commit a crime and one person gets caught, two get away, that one person's insured for the crime they committed. The insurance company will pay out the victim, even though the other two people got away. Just because these two people have been caught, the council and neighbourhood office team, and they ain't insured and covered as they should be, it doesn't mean that the insurance payout wouldn't go ahead. So I was quite happy thinking, oh, well, at least they've done it in joint circle and I've got Sawrich's insurance. But through reading through Sawrich's insurance policy, there's a clause inside of the policy, and what the clause says is that they have 2 years after the policy to make a claim for dishonesty or the time limitation.
I need to stop you there because these are things I'm not trained in. So I just need to know what information it is you're looking for me, because I'm not trained in liability or insurance matters or anything to do with the finances in the Ombudsman or criminal matters.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, there's a clause inside of the policy, and the way I'm looking at it is, they've got 5 years. I think it's a breach of the Equality Act 2010. I know it is, and it's unfair. The reason that I'm saying that the clause is unfair, and I'd like you to be able to help me contact Sawrich and maybe have this amended, is because of.
That's not what we do. We're not a regulator. We don't act for you and we don't act for the council. We impartially investigate whether or not council are following their own internal policies and procedures correctly in providing you with services. That's what we're here to do. We're not here to challenge the council legally.
I understand that you're not here to challenge the council legally. So what you're saying is, what you could help me with is, well, the council have barred me from phoning their phone since 2016 under malicious grounds. I'm not allowed to contact them till date now. If I ring them off my mobile phone, I'm barred from ringing them. I put the right into an appeal to appeal the decision of them barring me from phoning them to make my complaint, and they won't contact me back. They gave me one worker called Karen Howell, who is my only point of contact after they've done all of this fraud, and I email her continuously asking her for the information why I've been barred from phoning them, dates and times, and I've asked them to contact me back. She won't email me back. She won't talk to me. My phones are barred from phoning them.
To be clear, you would have been deemed a vexatious complainant, so you would be on their register. So your contacts have been deemed unreasonable, and you've been placed on a register where you have a one point of contact. If you believe that you shouldn't be now, or that should be finalised, then that complaint would need to go to your one point of contact. You'd need to register a formal complaint, advising them why you're unhappy with the fact that you're still on that, and advising them why you believe that's incorrect, and ask them to deal with that as a complaint through their complaint process.
I've done that.
Was that done?
It was just done just recently. The last one was... The last email to them and telephone call that was recorded was about... 5 months ago, not even that. And no, the last email that they just sent me was the 27th of this month, when they sent me the insurance policies. But on the 16th of March...
Just on the point of the complaint about you being deemed vexatious, so that you have a complaint that you raised 5 months ago to say that you're looking for them to deal with that as a complaint through their complaints process.
Yeah,
Is that correct?
They sent me letters.
Yeah, have you sent them anything since?
They've had at least there's over 7,000 emails, 8,000 emails
no,
to
no,
the
no.
council.
That may be why you've been deemed vexatious.
But them 7,000 emails are all from them to us, to me and my mother, and their applications that they frauded, the possession order, the injunction order, everything else that they've frauded.
As I said, the whole process that you've explained, going back over many, many years, all of that may now be out of time.
It isn't out of time, because what they tried to do was try to label me as mentally ill, and by doing that I've stripped their computers with the FOI. They kept referring me to the doctors without ever meeting me every time we sent a complaint into them.
I'm advising you that the Ombudsman expects any complaint to come to us within 12 months of you being aware of it. So anything that happened more than 12 months ago may be deemed out of time.
By the Ombudsman people themselves, but not by law itself.
You're asking for advice about the Ombudsman.
Yeah, I understand
that. Advice, but the Ombudsman may not consider any complaint you have about something that happened more than 12 months ago.
Even if it's ongoing at the present time?
Yes.
So what do I have to do? Put another complaint in about the ongoing, then the Ombudsman people will act accordingly?
If you have a current complaint that been deemed vexatious, then yes, we can check whether or not they follow their own vexatious complainant policy correctly.
They won't reply back to me, or the point of contact won't contact me back.
If you show us evidence to show that you've been raising formal complaints to your one point of contact, asking for them to deal with it as a complaint, that you're on the vexatious complaint of this for longer than 12 weeks, then we can make inquiries to find out why there's a delay.
I appreciate and I've fully taken on board what you've said, and thank you for taking the time to listen to me. And I do understand what you're saying to me, and I can send you the information you require, and I will be within the time limits for yourselves, and I have prepared that already. It's not a problem for me to do that for yourself. But can I ask just one point of what I'm trying, what phoned for? Even, I know you might say, oh, well, the ombudsman press, but will you just hear me out for 2 seconds, please, madam?
Yep.
Basically, like I'm saying, the council didn't seem to be covered, but the police said that they were covered under their under Sorich. Sorich is taken out on a long-term policy, so they take a 5-year insurance policy out. The police do, yeah, with them. Now, what I'm saying is, if you say they took it out in 2016 as they did, and it's June, and it runs out next month, their 5 years do for June again, 2021. If at the end of that 2021 next year they've got a 2-year cut-off point for dishonesty, that would mean that it would be disproportionate and unfair for any person for that policy to be instated in the terms and the conditions, because of it would mean that the person that got it in 2006 had something happen to him in 16 would mean that they had 7 years to fix it. The next one would have a year shorter. The one that had something happen in 2000, I'd only have 2 years if something happened to me where they were dishonest now. So it'd be
disproportionate. Sorry, what's your question to me?
If that's disproportionate in that sense there, and it's unfavourable, to me it'd mean that the policy was taken out that they would say, okay, well, if something happened in 16 with dishonesty, that would give you till 2018 and vice versa for each year. Now, it's not disproportionate that way, but that would mean that any person that gets put into prison, for instance, or has their liberty taken away, that gets 3 years, because it means 16 plus the 2 years, or 17 plus the 2, would mean anyone that got 3 years and didn't have access to information in the prison and got out and built their case afterwards couldn't claim for 3 years. But any person that got 1 year would be able to get out of prison and build their case within the 2 years. So both ways.
What's your question?
So my question is, how can I, if it is a breach of the Equality Act, and it means that the police are going to have to pay the money outright because the insurance company are going to sneak out on this clause, and this clause is it breaches the Equality Act and the right to fairness and treating their clients equally. Where can I go? And because I thought the ombudsman.
You'd have to seek legal advice. Unfortunately, I can't answer. I don't know.
Okay, I can appreciate that. Okay, and I'm going to consider contacting you, because I'm going through the procedures and I'm looking to take all of the years on and everything I can prove. So I don't think pushing them right now at the end because I can prove so much what they've done, it's unrealistic, If you ever got time, I'll put a website up, horrificcorruption.com. And you can go to horrificcorruption.com and you can have a look under the newsroom, and you can see videos of what I've loaded up, all of the FOIs and insurance policies. On the homepage you can see a link to what's going on, and there's all the audio recordings between ourselves. It's there. So if you just want to have a look, you can have a look at horrificcorruption.com and maybe catch
all right.
up. I hope you have a good day in there, yeah? And
thank you.
I hope everything goes well for yourself. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Say bye.